Hey, strangers, it's me, Daisy. If you're enjoying Strange and Unexplained, then I have something special to share that I think you'll love. It's a preview of the brand new show Hidden History with Dr. Harini Bhatt. If you love the mysterious parts of history, then you need to follow Hidden History wherever you listen to podcasts. As a doctorate in pharmacy, Dr. Bhatt has spent her career demanding evidence, asking why, and refusing to accept "we just don't know" as an answer. Every Monday, she goes where history touches the unknown. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. Dr. Bhatt will give you the historical context, break down the science, and even interrogate the supernatural. At the end of every episode, she'll tell you exactly what she thinks happened and asked, "What if it happened today?" We have a preview of an episode for you to listen to now about a deadly epidemic that made people dance to death. If you love it, make sure to follow Hidden History with Dr. Harini Bhatt on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Video episodes are available on YouTube at Hidden History Pod. We'll also put a link to the show in this episode's description.
On July 14, 1518, the sun rose above Strasbourg. The city was a hub of economic, cultural, and religious activity, whose cathedral is one of the tallest buildings in the world. And on that summer day, a woman named Frau Trophia stepped out of her home onto the narrow street and started to dance. At first, it was more like a shuffle, but as the minutes ticked by, Frau Trophia started moving faster and faster. Her husband tried to get her to stop, to go back inside and calm down, but Frau Trophia just kept dancing until she was so exhausted, she collapsed. Her husband brought her inside, made sure she got some rest, and probably figured that was the end of it. But the next morning, she went right back at it, dancing nonstop until the sun went down. Before long, she was surrounded by curious onlookers who wondered what on earth was going on here. And their first theory was that this was an act of revenge. If I was there at that time, thinking with a modern lens, honestly, the first thought I would have is that this person is going through epilepsy or they're having some kind of seizure. But doing it for so many hours on end is where it starts to look a little bit different. And that's why we need to dig a little bit deeper. We don't know much about Frau Trophia other than she was married. We don't even know her first name. Frau is basically the German equivalent of Mrs. But supposedly, she and her husband had gone into some sort of argument right before she started dancing. And he hated dancing. So people wondered if this was just a way to get back at him. But by the end of that second day, Frau Trophia hadn't stopped. Honestly, would anyone go this far just to annoy their husband? Maybe I would. On the dawn of the third day, her dancing continued, and then on the fourth, and then on the fifth. By the sixth day of this, she was in rough shape. Her feet were bloody, she was dehydrated, and she had barely eaten. If she went on like this for much longer, she might not survive. It became obvious that Frau Trophia wasn't in control of her actions, and some people wondered if she was possessed by a demon. At the time, women were believed to have weaker morals than men, which supposedly made them more susceptible to sin, and therefore easy targets for possession. So was she up to some shady stuff, and a demon was making her pay the price? I think it's safe to say the answer is no. And most of the people in Strasbourg didn't think so either, although they still thought there was a spiritual explanation for it. But instead of looking to hell, they looked to heaven. They believed she had been cursed by Saint Vitus, the patron saint of actors, dancers, and people with the falling sickness, or as we would call it today, epilepsy. People could pray to Saint Vitus to help them with their afflictions or unleash it on their enemies. And it was common enough that this unstoppable frenzy was referred to as Saint Vitus's dance. And honestly, if you think about it, it does make sense for the time to immediately jump to something spiritual or something even demonic like possession, because that was their science at the time. That is how they viewed the lens. It was through this religious perspective, especially in that area. So you can't fault them for that. That's right, Frau Trophia wasn't the first person to be afflicted with a dancing plague. There had been reports of similar cases in that very region going back hundreds of years. After 6 days of constant dancing, it was looking like Frau Trophia was this plague's latest victim. So around July 20th, 1518, her jerking body was strapped into a wagon and she was taken to pray at the shrine of Saint Vitus, nestled in the mountains about 30 miles west of Strasbourg. The reports don't say what happened to her after that, though some historians believe that it was a case of no news is good news, since it's more likely that it would have been recorded if she had died. But this was far from the end of the story. Soon enough, the city of Strasbourg would be consumed in a living nightmare, because just as Frau Trophäa's dancing frenzy was ending, it was beginning for hundreds of others. By July 21st, 1518, so just a week after Frau Trophäa started her dance, up to 34 people throughout Strasbourg had been afflicted with the same uncontrollable dancing plague. Initially, they were just curious onlookers, but inevitably, they'd lost control of themselves too. As the days went by, more and more people fell victim to St. Vitus's curse. By July 25th, the number had risen to around 50 people. With so many affected, it wouldn't be practical to transport everyone to the shrine. So the city council decided to do something unexpected. Look for a medical explanation. At this point in time, doctors mainly relied on the wisdom of ancient Greek and Roman thinkers for guidance. And the city's physicians believed that the dancing plague was being caused by overheated blood, a concept from the ancient Greek medical philosopher Galen. So during this time, most of medicine really surrounded something called the four humors. You probably have heard it before. And the four humors was first established by the ancient Greek philosopher Hippocrates, and then later refined by actually this guy, Galen. And it all surrounded what was called, like I said, the four humors. So those are yellow bile, black bile, blood, and phlegm. And the whole idea is that if you're sick or you're feeling ill, it's because one of those four humors is out of balance. So the whole idea of overheated blood comes from that four humors concept. Is it reliable medicine in today's lens? No, but it is a good thought process. So let's see where it goes. The theory was that blood was connected to happiness and the love of song and dance. The more people had, the more they enjoyed these things. But if there was a blockage somewhere, blood could pool in the body. When that happened, it could overheat the brain and cause erratic behavior like uncontrollable dancing. Here's what I think is especially interesting though. If they were completely following Galen's teachings, the doctors would have prescribed bleeding and a cooling diet that could have reduced the blood's temperature. But instead, their solution was more dancing. In this case, it seems like they were relying more on traditional wisdom. The idea was that they needed to be able to let the disease burn out on its own. That's apparently how previous dancing plagues had come to an end as well, including one a century earlier in nearby Zurich, Switzerland. Honestly, it sounds like such a bonkers plan to ask them to continue to dance when that is what is afflicting them. However, if you want to look at it through a modern lens, it's kind of akin, this is not a perfect analogy, but it's kind of akin to when you have a fever. Sometimes you do want to let your fever run its course because that is actually what's going to make you better by killing off all the bacteria. So I can kind of see how maybe that was the line of thinking that they had. Obviously, this was before germ theory, but maybe that's what they were thinking. Like, just get it all out of your system. But did it work? We'll find out. Thanks for listening to this preview of my new show, Hidden History. If you want to hear what happens next, follow Hidden History on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or subscribe on YouTube.
Thanks for listening to this preview of Hidden History. Follow Hidden History with Dr. Harini Bhatt on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or subscribe on YouTube at Hidden History Pod for video episodes. New episodes drop every Monday.